This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, and we're going from the surface of the planet Earth to the surface of the planet Mars, and then we're looking up at Phobos. Bob, Perseverance is a very enterprising rover. When last we spoke of Perseverance, it was entering what appeared to be rich diggings for its investigation of water flow on the surface of Mars. And then Phobos appears. Did we know about this? What is Phobos, Bob?
Phobos is one of the two moons of Mars. It's a small moon. It's not regularly shaped. It's irregular, almost like an asteroid. And, you know, they know its orbit reasonably well, so they can predict when it's going to move across the face of the sun. And it actually does this pretty regularly on Mars because its orbit is right on the ecliptic. So the scientists that run Perseverance decided to aim the camera, the high-resolution camera on Perseverance, at the sun, with filters, of course, to capture the solar eclipse. And I've got a great video animation which basically compiled all these high-resolution images into a movie. And it's embedded on Behind the Black, and you can watch it. You can watch Phobos move across the surface of the sun. It's a solar eclipse. It's not a full eclipse because Phobos isn't large enough relative to the sun in the line of sight. What's interesting to me is that you can see sunspots on the sun because the sun right now is very, very active. And so those sunspots are very visible in this image, and you can see Phobos move across it. They use this kind of data to help refine the orbit of Phobos because it is slowly drifting towards Mars. It'll eventually crash into Mars in tens of millions of years. And refining the orbit is one way they can figure that out. And by looking at an eclipse like this, they can do so, John. But it's also cool.
It's very cool because Phobos is oddly profiled. That's an odd shape. It's an irregular shape.
Yes. It's not a planet because it's not spherical. It's more like an asteroid. These are like both Phobos and Deimos are both like asteroids. They're irregular small objects. They are not spherical like a planet.
Is there an opinion of Phobos having been created at the same time of Mars or captured by Mars?
The most popular theory runs the gamut of many things, but they usually favor it captured as, and these were both captured as asteroids, but nothing is really known at this point, John.
We will all remember that the Phobosians are a special friend of this show, and we will return to this because Perseverance has now given us a wonderful, wonderful profile of Phobos. Now we turn to NASA's planning for the next year. What is the decadal survey, Bob?
These decadal surveys were begun by the astronomers back in the 60s. Every 10 years, the astronomers would put together a decadal survey recommending what NASA should do for the next decade. And through the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, they were very, very successful and getting a lot of big projects from NASA, and that's what created the Hubble Space Telescope, and that's what created the golden age of space astronomy in the 90s. It also produced in the aughts and to the teens the James Webb Space Telescope. Planetary scientists started to emulate the astronomers back about three decades ago, and they started to do their own planetary decadal survey. They released their most recent one, the 22 for this next decade, just this past week, and while most news sources are talking about how their primary goals are visiting Uranus, as well as Enceladus, the moon of Saturn. What I look at and see this is just the planetary scientists pushing another NASA boondoggle, because all these decadal surveys since the 21 decadal survey by the astronomers, the proposed Webb, they basically only produce boondoggles, and they're rarely used by the politicians to create such pork. The last astronomy decadal survey in 2011 proposed the WFIRST telescope, big $5 billion project, which has become the Roman Space Telescope. It's going to be built in a decade or so, and it's going to cost as much as Webb and be really overpriced. And I think the planetary scientists are following that same model. What's worse, John, is that nowhere in this report do they really seem to be aware of the existence of SpaceX's Starship, which is going to change entirely how they do planetary missions. It removes their weight limitations, and it provides them the ability to go almost anywhere with almost any size probe. And that's going to change the cost and the what they'll do. And they don't seem to have paid attention to it. It's like they're living in a
dog age. Let me ask about that, Bob. Do they envision, is it possible to imagine that the planetary probes will not leave from this planet Earth, but leave from orbit? because SpaceX has the capability of getting a lot of weight up into orbit to be reassembled for probes. Does NASA think that way?
Well, no, NASA doesn't think of that way. That's my point. They're not thinking about this in any way, shape, or form. One of them, you could use Starship to launch the thing, and like the shuttle, you deploy it in orbit and then has a secondary engine which fires to take it where it needs to go. This is how many of the 90s probes were launched, such as Hubble, the Compton Gamma Ray Observatory, and many, many others. The shuttle would take it into orbit, and it would be taken out of the cargo bay, released by the robot arm, and then it would go on its way. Well, you could do the same thing with Starship. And you could do a lot more. And there doesn't seem to be any attention to this in this thing. What the scientists should have really done is proposed, instead of the federal government build everything, as this program seems to state, they should have done what NASA's been doing in manned space, transition to having private companies build these things. Small emissions, a lot more small emissions, which might not have weight constraints, but still smaller, cheaper. And you have competitive companies building them, and that creates innovation and development. Same thing as we've been doing in private space.
Final 30 seconds. Happy birthday, Hubble. How old is it?
Hubble has now been in orbit for 32 years. It was built in the late 70s, so it's even older than that. But to celebrate that anniversary of its launch, Hubble released this magnificent image of a cluster of five galaxies very close together. I have this up on Behind the Black. It's kind of mind-boggling how many stars are in this one image, and they point out that these five galaxies are in a space just a little bit more than twice as large as the Milky Way. So these are really five different galaxies packed together in a very small space. It's quite spectacular, John, and Hubble is, of course, spectacular.
Bob Zimmerman, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor